into the book of 2 Timothy. I want to use a couple of verses out of the third chapter. And I want us to, today, we're going to use a lot of Bible. We're going to use a lot of Bible. Matter of fact, I'm a Bible preacher. Amen. What else have I got to preach but the Bible? What else do I need to preach but the Bible? What else do you need but the Bible? Amen. You said $1 million check, you'd, amen, God couldn't trust you with it or doesn't give it to you. Amen. Stand, please. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse number 7. God says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Sounds like Washington. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. You can be seated. Father, give us wisdom. Help us to understand. Help us to comprehend. Help us to receive. And Lord, help us to preach. May your name be declared. May your name be exalted. May your word be established. Lord, when we leave this building today, may we say it's been good to bend down to your house. Touch us now in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to talk about verse number 7 here, ever learning. And that's where we are in America. We're at the greatest time and the greatest point of having knowledge, knowing how to do things, knowing how to get things done. But we are probably the most stupid, spiritually speaking, as we've ever been. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I want to major today on that word truth. Truth is something we need. Truth is something we've got to have. Truth is necessary. And then we look at Jannes and Jambres. They withstood Moses in the Old Testament time. And he said that in verse number 8, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood. That word withstood means that they stood against him and stood against what he taught, stood against what he preached. And it says this, as we go on. It said they withstood. Amen, Moses. So do these also resist. That word resist means to oppose, to refuse, to accept, to defy, to stand against, to fight back. Brother, we've got that in America. We've got that in the average church too, if you'll stop and think about it. Amen. And then he goes on to say, so do these also resist the truth. Then he characterized them and said, men of corrupt minds. That word corrupt means to be dishonest. It means to be crooked, shady, or fraudulent. Then we go on, he said, reprobate concerning the faith. You've got a corrupt mind, I want to tell you you're crazy. Just mark it down. You may have a good IQ and not be able to get out of the rain. You may have some book learning, but you don't know how to put it to practice. My daddy used to call it horse sense. You and I may call it common sense. Common sense will teach you more than what our colleges are teaching today. And we go on down from there. He said, reprobate concerning the faith. What's that word reprobate mean? It means degenerate. No good. Means good for nothing. Means troublemaker. Means rascal. Rejected and refused. God said, I'll turn it over to a reprobate mind. Brother, when God turns you over to reprobate mind, there's not much God can do with you from then on. Nobody else either. God said, I'm through with you. I'm fed up with you. And you can just do your own thing now. And God's turned a lot in America over to reprobates. What's the reprobates done? They've turned the truth into a lie. They love the creature more than the Creator. They stepped up one day and said, I was born a man, but I'm today declare myself a woman. They step up one morning and say, I was born a woman, but from this day forth I'm going to be a man. They turned everything around. And God said, they're reprobates. And of course we could talk about the faith in that sense too, but I'm not going to. Now, I want us to look please in John chapter 1. I want to use our Bible and I'm going to expound on the scriptures that we're coming to. In John chapter number 1, the first chapter of the book of John, the Gospel of John, the Bible said in chapter number 1 and verse number 14, he's talking about the Word, but I want to point out some things about this. The Bible said, and the Word was made flesh. That's the incarnation of the Son of God when He was born of a virgin. He had the body of a man, but He was God because He was conceived of the Holy Ghost. He got His body and represented to be representing you and me. But He was God in the flesh, and the Word was made flesh and dwelled among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Notice this next, full of grace and, what's that? Truth. We're going to talk about truth. There's some things I want to face about truth this morning. Truth is something I said a while ago we need. We don't need a lie. Got enough of that. We need the truth. Now if you'll slide down to verse number 17 of the same chapter, John says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Truth has come to us. Grace and truth has come to us by Jesus Christ. Grace and truth was not hatched out in the parliament. Grace and truth was not hatched out in the government. Grace and truth was not put on the shelf to buy at Walmart. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And without Jesus, there is no truth. Go with me, please, to John chapter 4. We're going to use our Bible. John chapter 4 and verse number 24. The Bible says there, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. I mean worship Him in reality, in realness, not in pretension, not as a put-on, but we worship Him in spirit and in truth. And I say the only communication that God will allow you to have with Him will have to be in truth. Amen. God only deals with the truth because He is the truth. Amen. Let God be true and every man a liar is what He says in the Word of God. Now, we want to move a little further to the 8th chapter of the book of John. In John chapter 8, and we'll look at verse number 32. John 8:32 says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Who's the truth? We're going to tell you that in a minute. Jesus. And there's no truth outside Jesus. And the truth, it'll set you free. And the Bible goes on to say, if we are set free, we're free indeed. Hallelujah. Give God the praise for that. Now, in the 8th chapter and verse number 44, Jesus talked to that bunch of hypocrites and those people around Him that were questioning Him. And He said, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. Then He goes on to tell and describe who the devil is. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the what? Truth. Because there is no truth in Him. Anything the devil is going to tell is going to be a lie. It's going to be a farce. It's going to be something that's not right. It said, because there is no truth in Him. When He speaketh a lie, He speaketh of His own, for He is a liar and the father of it. Now, He's not nowhere near the truth. He's a liar. Every time the devil ever spoke to me, he lied to me. Amen. And sometimes he twisted a little bit of the truth into the lie that he made to make me believe it. The power of a lie is the truth that the devil puts in it. Amen. Because you know there's a little bit of truth of what he says. You may accept what he's going to say in the whole entirety of it. But he's a liar from the beginning. And he's never had the truth to abide in him. He started off wrong. I'll rise up. I'll take the throne. I'm going to lift myself. I'm going to become God. He lied in every one of those and did not do it, has not done it, and never will do what he said he was going to do. Amen. He's a liar. Now I'm telling you, the truth is what we need. Now go to John chapter 8, verse number 45. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. The devil comes along and tells you what he says is the truth, and you believe him is what he's saying. But I come along and tell you, and you don't pay me no attention. Verse 46 said, which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? They would not accept the truth. Jesus Christ is the author of grace and truth. He is grace and truth. And he preached grace and truth, and they would not believe that he was grace and truth. Brother, we're living in that day too as well. Amen. I thank God for his goodness. Now, go to John chapter 14. In John chapter 14 and verse number 6, I'll just quit when I get tired because I know I won't finish. In John chapter 14 and verse number 6, Jesus said, here he said, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He didn't say this morning that I am a way. Didn't say I'm a truth. Didn't say I'm a life. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Outside of Christ, there's no way. Outside of Christ, there's no truth. Outside of Christ, there's no life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So we know who He is. In John chapter 15 and verse number 26, John 15, 26 says, but when the Comforter is come, He's talking about the Spirit of God. This is on the earth when He is walking with His earthly ministry for 3.5 years. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of what? Truth. The Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me. When the Comforter comes, He's going to be the Spirit of truth. Now the Spirit of God has never lied to you. The Spirit of God will never lie to you. Amen. Brother, He's truth. The Spirit of God is truth. Just like Jesus. Jesus ascended back to heaven, sit down at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and me today. He sent the Holy Ghost of God, which is the Spirit of truth, and He's been directing my heart and your life down through the years. I want you to know the Spirit of truth is here. And it's not the spirit of the world. And it's not the spirit of the devil. It's the Spirit of God. All right, let's go a little further. In John chapter 15 and chapter 16 and verse number 7. Go one more chapter. Chapter 16 and verse 7, Jesus said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. He's promising the Spirit of God. In verse number 13, He says, "Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come." Praise God. We're talking about the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. Chapter 17 and verse number 17. God says, "Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy Word is truth." Amen. Now we've heard the Spirit of truth, Jesus of the living Word. And now we've got this, the Word of God, which is the written Word. And the written Word is truth. You can count on what the book says, if you've got the right kind of book. Amen. Well, I'll get into that. That's another message. But John chapter 17 says that. Chapter 18, verse number 37, He says, "Pilate therefore said unto Him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end I was born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Are you established this morning now that Jesus is the truth? Do you believe today that we need the truth? Do you believe this morning we have the truth? Amen. We've got that much done then. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. Amen. If I can just get you convinced today that we have what we need in this world to fight the devil with, it'll make my life much easier and it'll make you sleep better tonight. Amen. Somebody said, "If a booger gets in over on me, I'll get out my 22, my 38, my shotgun, and my other 15 pieces of instruments that I can kill them with." Amen. I live by the truth. Amen. I'm not saying I wouldn't do all that, but I'm telling you this morning that that's not my philosophy. My philosophy is to live by and in and through the Word of God. Amen. Well, the devil don't like preaching the Word of God. He hates it. He despises it. I've experienced that more in the last 6 months of my life than I've ever experienced in my life, about how the devil fights everything you try to do for God. But I've never seen the devil on my case as much as he is at the present time. But I want to tell you this. When I read the little report I read to you a while ago, about 2,000, over 2,000 people listened to the preaching of the Word of God last month, I say, hallelujah! I'm going to get up and start over again. Amen? Understand what I'm saying? Devil don't like the Word of God. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 25. The Bible said, "Who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." Now we find today that some folks have turned the Word of God around, and they've changed from the truth, and they've changed the truth of God into a lie. And they're saying, "That's not what God says." That crowd today that's running this abortion. That's why they're so upset at our president anyhow. They're afraid they're going to lose their right to have an abortion. One will step out on the stage of time and say, "Hey, we can. It'd be all right to have an abortion after 6 weeks, after 9 weeks, after 12 weeks," and they go on and on and on. Another one comes along and said, "It's all right to have an abortion it's wrong to have an abortion except for incest and rape and all those things." Give me that in the Bible. That don't even say that in the Bible. Who made you God? Amen. Why, you said, "Well, I don't think they ought to have to carry a baby if they've been raped." I want to tell you something. You take the rapist, and when he gets caught and he's found out, take him out and execute him on the country square. Amen. He'll stop some of that stuff, and we wouldn't have as much of it. That's where our problem is. Let's go back and enforce what God's put up. Amen? When somebody takes a human life, don't give them 20 years or 30 years to think about it and feed them that much time. I mean, give them about 3 weeks. Amen? Any time now, between right now, this very moment, and 3 weeks from now, you're going to draw your last breath, draw in your heart the things of God, and get ready to meet your Maker. We're going to help you with the process. And within 3 weeks, they're gone. That'll stop it. Somebody said, "Preacher, you're mean." I'm preaching Bible. I'll give you a Bible on everything I've got here this morning. And if I believed it different than that, I'd preach it different than that. But I want you to turn in the book of 2 Timothy. I can't understand why these people think that they're God. They've got the right to say this one can live and that can't live. Did you know I haven't found but one that's able to give life and take it and do it the way it needs to be done, and you can't argue with Him? And that's God. God gives life and God takes life. Said to Job, "What are you going to do?" He said, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away." And I'm not going to help it any other way, are you? Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 18. I want us to look at this morning. The Bible said in 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 18, "Who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past, and overthrow the faith of some." Now I want to back up a minute and look at this. There's a character. Paul run into some dangerous characters. I pastored some of them same ones that just didn't have the same name. But they did the same thing. Let me see if I can find. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, I believe it's verse 19. Verse 20. But we'll start at 19. Hold your place there in 2 Timothy. We're coming back there. The Bible said in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19, "Hold in faith! Hold in faith! Grab a hold of faith and hang on!" What he's saying? Hold in faith and a good conscience. Get that good conscience. That conscience is down on the inside. That's that little voice that tells you when you're doing wrong. That conscience, that good conscience. He said, "Which some have been put away." They put away the good conscience. They put away of the faith. And he said, "Some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck." A ship that's been wrecked ain't no good. Amen. Its sailing days are over. Amen. And we'll talk about that later. But in verse number 20, he said, "Of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme." If we could just get our modern preachers to see the little thought of Hymenaeus and Alexander here and see what they did. You know what you do with troublemakers in the church? It's always a giving trouble. You turn them over to the devil and let God do the work, amen, in their life. Either get them out of here, make them short-lived, put them in a premature grave. You can't do that, but God can. Or let God teach them a lesson and let them repent and change their ways. Amen. You're going to start giving me trouble. You're going to start fighting me. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get down and I'm going to say, "Lord, you know what he's doing. You know what she's doing. You know what he's saying. Lord, you know what she's saying. Lord, you know what they're doing to me. You know how they're doing it. And Father, I know I can't work with them and I can't work for them because I work for you. But dear God, this morning I want you to take both of them and I want you, if it be a husband or wife, I pray, Lord, you just go ahead and take them. Do whatever you need to do. Break their leg. I mean, do whatever you got to do to get them stopped from fighting me." Now, would you want your preacher to pray that over you? It depends on what kind of preacher you got. You got a mealy mouth that won't preach to you, it might not bother you. But if he got any power with God whatsoever, I'd be afraid that God just might hear him. And if you believe that, you might want to go get you a pair of crutches. Amen. I've seen God do that. Now that's what Paul done. Paul said, "Lord, I've turned him over. I've turned both of these boys over to the devil. I've turned them over to Satan that they learn not to blaspheme." What's blaspheme here? Somebody said cursing? Not necessarily. Blaspheming, you can curse and say dirty words and bad words, that's blaspheming. But here they were blaspheming the work of God. They were fighting. You can fight the man of God. You can fight the word of God. And that's what I said a while ago about this bunch up in Washington. They're fighting the truth. They're fighting the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you again? They're fighting the truth. What should we do? God, I pray you go ahead and take care of them. Do whatever you need to do to them to shut their mouth. Now, I have no animosity to none of them. I don't know them. I see what they've done. I don't understand why they're doing what they're doing, except the devil has instigated and ordained them to do it. And he's a coaxing them on. As the old fellow said, agging him on. The old preacher one time, they said, there's two old bulldogs in me. One of them's named Flesh and one of them's named Spirit. And they said, well, which one of those dogs win from their fighting? He said, the one I say, stick them to. And I'm saying, Lord, stick them. Are you with me? Amen. So I ain't going to come back and hear you preach no more. That's all right. Amen. You got the truth one time. Amen. Well, Hymenaeus, we learned a little bit more about him. What was he teaching in chapter 2 and verse number 17? He was teaching something. We'll see what it is in that 2 Timothy. And their word will eat as doth a canker. You know what a canker is? Like a cancer. Their word will eat like... Listen, Hymenaeus was spouting out his words. And he was deceiving people and pulling people away from God. And he's causing people to stumble and fall, especially those who weren't anchored in the faith. So God said, take Hymenaeus and do business with him. And then down in verse number 18, he said, who concerning the truth have erred? They've erred from the truth. When you err from the truth, that means you come away from the truth. Saying that the resurrection is past already and overthrow the faith of some. See? They'd overthrown some. And what they said is the resurrection has already come to pass. It's already happened. And they were tearing up the doctrine. Kind of like the Sadducees. They didn't believe in the resurrection and there's a preaching against. And Hymenaeus was preaching some kind of doctrine that Paul had not established. And God said, or Paul said, God, take these men and turn them over to the devil this morning. Now, Alexander is mentioned, well, in verse number 17, it's Hymenaeus and Philetus. But in 1 Timothy, it's Hymenaeus and Alexander. Now, who's Alexander? Let's look at chapter 4 of 2 Timothy. And we'll find out who Alexander was and what he's doing. Alexander is found in verse number 14 of the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 4. Alexander the coppersmith. He's a businessman. Did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Lord, I want you to reward him according to his works. If you got good works, God will reward you. If you don't have good works, brother, God will strip you. He said in verse number 15, of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. Amen. What did he do? He preached against and whatever Paul was for. Alexander was against it. You run against the doctrine of God. And go against the truth and see how far you'll get down the road. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 4. I want to go to that and look at it, what the Bible says. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 4 says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. And shall be turned unto fables. Would you say that's where we are in America? They've turned their ears away from the truth. They do not want to hear. How many of our politicians, they said, we're going to try to follow the Word of God to the T. they don't do it. We're going to pray. No, we're not going to pray. Hey, we're going to read the Word. No, we can't carry the Word of God anymore. We're going to take the Ten Commandments off the courthouse walls. We're going to take the Bible out of the schools. We're going to quit praying in the schools. You can't have a flag flying anywhere in America, hardly, without somebody giving you trouble. No, we turned our ears against that. Why, them folks, them's old fogies and fanatics. This is the new modern generation. This is the millenniums. Hey, we believe in socialism. We're tired of this capitalism. We're tired of the way we're going. We got to change. We got problems with the atmosphere, and the world's fixing to come to an end. Did you hear the latest one? Seen it this morning. Cory Booker running for the president in a Democratic Party. Said we're going to establish, you might have seen it, he said we're going to establish that we're going to give every born child in America, when they're born in America, going to give them $1,000. And every year, we're going to give them another $1,000. And you know who's going to pay for that, don't you? We are. Understand? And I thought, where in the world is this idiot coming from? Everybody's going to have the right kind. We're going to give you schooling. We're going to pay your college tuition. Where you run up and down the country taking dope and laying up one with another, and we'll just make sure you don't have any problems with that. We've turned our ears from the truth. We really have. 2 Peter chapter 2. Whew, this is one of them, I don't want to quit. This is one of them that I don't feel like I can quit. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 2. Peter said, "And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of the truth shall be evil spoken of." Are we not living in a land today that they speak evil of the truth? You stand up and say Jesus Christ is the hope for every man, woman, boy, and girl in America. And without Christ, you're going to go to hell, and they'll rail on you. You'll be in jail probably before dark. Just think about it this morning. Amen. Well, I want to hold. I'll give you one more verse of Scripture. And this is why I'm holding to the church. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. And I've just been scattered. I've been pretty well on target with the truth, but you may be feel like you've been flipped around. But in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 15, he said, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God." Then he says, comma, "which," and he's talking about the house of God, "which is the church of the living God," comma. Notice the next two, or next sentence, "the pillar and ground of the truth." The pillar is the foundation. You build on the pillar. And the ground is the starting point, the starting place. The pillar and ground of the truth. If you want to know the truth, you find a church that's standing for God, and that's where you're going to get the truth, and you won't get it nowhere else. That's why I love God's house. That's why I love God's church. That's why I love God's book. Amen. Now, I give you enough to whet your appetite, go home and study some more. Heads bowed. Pray God will help you. Thank God for the Word of God this morning. Thank God for the truth. Amen. Amen. Preach is what we need. Get that known, have thine own way this morning. I believe God wants to have His way in your life. I know He wants to have it in mine.